It's good to be with you this morning. And I was struck particularly by Tonya's prayer earlier on when she was speaking quite powerfully about the people who are feeling vulnerable at the moment. And with all the announcements that have just been made, that this we're certainly not through this. And really, that's the topic that I wanted to talk about this morning, is feeling or being vulnerable. Because there is a virus out there, we can't see it. It doesn't discriminate. Anyone can be infected, and the result can be either mild or really very serious. And some people have been suffering from it for several weeks and months. There's no vaccine as yet. If our circumstances mean that we're almost forced to be in the company of many more people, we are in more danger and more vulnerability. And that leads to people feeling isolated, alone, and frightened and unsafe. The word vulnerable actually comes from the Latin word vulner, which means a wound. So being vulnerable is able to be wounded. And generally speaking, of course, we don't like the prospect of being wounded, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually, and we take precautions to protect ourselves. Physically, we're being given the instructions at the moment about how to protect ourselves, and generally we want to avoid accidents, illnesses, and keep reasonably healthy. Protecting ourselves emotionally is a bit more difficult in some ways. How do we avoid emotional wounds? Some of us don't want to expose our inner selves to other people. They might not like me or reject me or take advantage of me. We may have had bad experiences where we've been hurt by people and hurt more than once. Sometimes continuous abuse or hurt that we've experienced. And all we want to do is to pull down the shutters, say, we don't want to experience that anymore. I don't want to go through that again. We're left with our wounds. We pull the shutters down, once bitten, twice shy. I'm not going to risk that again. May not have been a person, but a set of circumstances of abandonment or tragedy, the loss of someone very close, and that leads us to becoming angry or bitter or even depressed, or all coming out of that feeling of vulnerability. So where is God in this vulnerability? He can seem very distant, seeming to keep safely away, and we are left. But then we come to read Isaiah chapter 53, that famous chapter, and it says, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent. And there's another passage in which Paul writes in Philippians that Jesus, being in the very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. So Jesus actively chose the possibility and even the probability of being wounded, of being rejected, of being abused. He said yes to that, voluntarily, intentionally, a way of being vulnerable as a way of living, a way without pretense, with genuine humility and willingness to remove any defenses he might have. Yes, there was a shrinking from it at Gethsemane, but even that was overcome. So God himself not only understands being vulnerable, he made himself very vulnerable. Jesus made himself vulnerable in going to the cross, and God himself gave his son, loved the world so much that he gave his only son to experience that death. In fact, I think we could say that God is vulnerable almost every hour of every day as he sees this beautiful world that he's created, misused and ravaged for private gain. Individual people he formed most carefully, being cruel, barbaric, wars, tortures, gas chambers, all sorts of things that are going on, paedophilia. And even in his church, engages in inquisitions and heresy trials, burning and executions, arguments, splits, all apparently being done in his name. And with all of us in one way or another, not following his way. He still says, as Jesus did to the woman taken in adultery, "I do not condemn. Go and sin no more." Is very vulnerable in the midst of all that, seeing what goes on. One of the characteristics of vulnerability is that we tend to like to bury the cause of it. Many soldiers from the First World War didn't tell their families when they came home of the horrors they faced on the battlefield, partly to protect their families, but also partly because they didn't want to relive those experiences themselves. They suffered from what was then called shell shock and is now post-traumatic stress. And some of us still don't want to talk about painful events of our past. We want to keep them in the past, to shut them away. But that puts up a barrier of silence. It doesn't allow God's work of healing and transformation to take place. Jesus at the Last Supper told his disciples what was going to happen. Far from trying to hide it as a matter of shame and pain, he instructed them to remember his body was broken as he offered the bread, that his blood was shed as he offered the wine, the ceremony we still go through regularly, reminding us of his voluntary vulnerability, wound and sacrifice for us. But then comes his resurrection, the event that demonstrated that evil, sin, and death are defeated, that suffering and death are transformed into joy and life. But when he appears before his disciples on Easter day, again, he doesn't hide his wounds, he shows them. And particularly, of course, to Thomas. He still has the marks of the nails on his hands and the sword in his side. And we believe that when we see him in heaven, those marks will still be there, only glorified and full of light and brightness, just as light can shine through the broken caps, cracks of a cup to bring that shine of truth and glory. The suffering of this world is transformed into the ultimate glory of eternity. Just as Jesus' body, broken body, can lead to our transformation, so our bad experiences can give rise to becoming what some people have called broken healers. We can share the experience with others who have suffered in a similar way. I told you last time about a couple we knew from the Bruderhof who were shattered after the early death of their son and met two Christian strangers who shared their own experience of loss and shared their journey into healing and hope. Hannah and I have got two close friends whose son died of cancer at the age of 23. I took his funeral, and they've now established and have been running a charity for parents who've lost their children, speaking with many people to help bringing their healing. The Northumbria community, which is a community of Christians seeking to follow Jesus basing themselves on the old Celtic practices around here, have an emphasis in all they do on two characteristics. One is availability, and the other is vulnerability for their members. But this is a voluntary vulnerability. There are many people in this world who suffer from involuntary vulnerability, which is not a good thing. They are homeless, they're poverty, there's racism, there's addiction. There are a whole series of things that put people in a very vulnerable position where they do not and should not really be. But voluntary vulnerability is at the heart of the rule of the Northumbria community when they talk about intentional, deliberate vulnerability following Jesus' own example. A very modest example of that vulnerability came soon after I was ordained. I came to the Mayflower Family Centre in Canning Town. It was then a very run-down place. Work had gone with the closure of the docks, unemployment was high, crime, broken families, and some poverty. Our struggling congregation hadn't got a single couple, not a single married couple or partnership in the congregation, except for members of the staff. It was a very broken place. After a year there, I felt God powerfully saying that I should give away all my money and cease taking a salary and live in that way. This, of course, would make me quite vulnerable. I had nothing to guarantee anything that I might need. I was over 40 and still single then, thinking I wouldn't marry, and had no responsibilities except for myself. I did that, and lo and behold, in God's goodness, within 2 years, I'd married Hannah. And with another 2 years gone, we had two children. So the responsibilities were rather different in that say. Hannah was very gracious to be able to join me in agreeing that we would be able to live like that over this period of time. And there were some pretty hairy experiences. One I particularly remember was when I was driving down to Spring Harvest with a group from the church. We had 20p in our pocket, two apples, and a lump of cheese for a week of self-catering. We ate the apples and cheese, and Hannah went to the evening session while I stayed in the chalet looking after two very young children. It got dark and I didn't have 50p for the light. There was a knock on the door and one of our group, Viv, came in saying, "Oh, you haven't got any 50p's. I said, "No, I haven't." And she gave me three. A short while later, another knock. "You haven't got any money, have you?" she said. "No," I said. And she gave us £20 for the week. Of all the people that were with us in the group that we brought, she was one of the most vulnerable. Her life was often chaotic. Her husband was constantly in prison for theft and burglary. Her children were all over the place as well. And yet she had this incredible link with God. A while later, when we really had not had enough to eat for a while, baking our own bread, I went upstairs and I just called out to God. And of course, as I called out to him, there was another knock on the door, and there was Viv with two large bags of groceries. Here was a very vulnerable person reaching out from her own vulnerability and weakness to us in our vulnerability, who in many ways were much more privileged than she was. We can call the wounds we've received during our life sacred wounds, just as Jesus's wounds were sacred. If we can allow unjust wounds to become sacred wounds, we can experience the transformation that Jesus brings. We can say, "I am a wiser, deeper, and better person than I would have been had all this not happened to me. I still bear the scars, but like Jesus's scars on Easter Day, Those scars are an indication of glory, a sign of love, and an emblem of peace. Amen.